This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use non-monetary anchors to shape a deal. The anchor you set before money is discussed decides everything after. In short, non-monetary anchors decide the shape of a deal before numbers enter the room. Set the terms, scope, and standards first, and every financial discussion that follows happens on ground you chose. Anchor the conditions, not just the price, and you control the frame. The first credible reference point a counterpart hears becomes their baseline for everything after. Most negotiators wait too long to anchor and spend the rest of the conversation playing catch-up. Definition: non-monetary anchors are the conditions, terms, scope, and standards you establish in a negotiation before any financial figure is spoken. They create a reference point that shapes everything the other party expects, wants, and is willing to accept from that moment forward. A colleague of mine spent 3 months preparing a proposal for a major services contract. He had the numbers right. He had case studies, testimonials, a polished deck. He walked into the room ready to defend his price. The client opened by describing a comparable project they had done internally for far less, framed it as the obvious benchmark, and never let go of that reference point. My colleague spent the entire meeting defending himself against a standard he had allowed someone else to set. He lost the deal. Not because his price was wrong, but because someone else had already anchored the conversation. Non-monetary anchors are what give a negotiation its shape before money is discussed. They're the scope you define, the timeline you establish, the quality standards you name, the precedents you introduce. They create the frame inside which every later number feels either reasonable or excessive. Most people understand price anchoring in a general way, but the non-monetary version is where real deals are won and lost, and most people have never been taught to use it deliberately. This article gives you a clear process to set non-monetary anchors with confidence at the right moment in a way that holds. Why anchoring on terms feels unnatural at first. Most of us were trained, implicitly or explicitly, to lead with what we want to be paid or what we want to pay. Numbers feel concrete. Terms and conditions feel like details to sort out later. That instinct costs people enormously. The real difficulty is psychological. Setting an anchor requires you to go first, to commit to a position before you know how the other party will respond. That feels exposed. It feels like you might aim too low, or too high, or misread the room entirely. So people hesitate, or they let the counterpart speak first, and then spend the rest of the negotiation reacting. There is a second difficulty most people anchor on price when they do finally go first. That is the visible number, the one that feels like the negotiation. But by the time price comes up, the structural frame of the deal has already been set, either by you deliberately or by circumstances, accidentally. The scope, the timeline, the expectations about quality and delivery, these are the anchors that determine how much room price has to move. What do you need before you set a single anchor? Before you apply this process, two things must be in place. First, you need to know your own position with clarity. What terms do you want? What conditions are non-negotiable and which are available for trade? If you do not have this worked out before the conversation starts, you cannot anchor with confidence, and an anchor without confidence collapses the moment it is challenged. Second, you need to understand the counterpart's situation well enough to know what they value and what constraints they are working within. You do not need complete information, but you do need enough to anchor in a direction that is credible to them. An anchor that ignores the other party's real constraints is not an anchor. It is a provocation. A strong anchor is firm, but not unreasonable, positioned just beyond what is comfortable for them. Not so far beyond that it destroys the room. If you need to sharpen how you build the groundwork for high-stakes conversations, the thinking in advanced email strategy, persuasion, influence, and high-stakes professional messaging applies directly to the written framing you do before a negotiation begins. How to use non-monetary anchors to shape a deal. This is the process I have refined over decades of getting it wrong, and then getting it right. Number 1. Name the scope before the counterpart does. Start by defining what the deal covers, specifically and generously toward your position. Do not wait to be asked. If you are negotiating a project engagement, state the deliverables, the timeline, and the support requirements before any number is mentioned. Once you have named the scope, the other party is responding to your frame, not setting their own. A simple script. Before we get into numbers, let me describe what I see this covering, so we are aligned on what we are actually pricing. Then state it fully. This is not aggressive. It is methodical, and it works. Number 2. Introduce a precedent that supports your position. Precedents are among the most powerful non-monetary anchors because they transfer credibility from a past decision to your current one. You are not asking the counterpart to accept something new. You are asking them to be consistent with something that already happened. In every similar engagement I have taken on at this level, the expectation has been exclusive access during the initial phase. That one sentence anchors the norm. The counterpart now has to argue against an established standard, not just your preference. Number 3. Set the timeline anchor early and specifically. Timelines shape deals more than most people realize. If you let the counterpart anchor the timeline, you will find yourself working backward from their deadline. Set yours first, with a reason attached. Given what is involved, I would expect this to be a 6-month engagement at minimum is harder to dislodge than a timeline offered as a question. Number 4. Anchor quality and standards before value is discussed. This is where I see the most opportunities wasted. Before any conversation about cost, name the standard you work to. My work at this level includes full project management, senior-only delivery, and a structured review process. Now the counterpart is pricing that standard. They are not pricing a generic version of the service and then deciding if it is worth paying more for extras. Think about it in reverse. If they anchor the quality standard as roughly what others provide, you spend the rest of the conversation fighting upward. Number 5. Use conditional framing to extend your anchor. Once you have set the primary anchor, conditional framing lets you hold it while appearing flexible. I could accommodate a shorter timeline if we reduce the scope of the review phase keeps your original anchor alive as the reference point. Every concession is made against the standard you established, not against the counterpart's preferred baseline. This is where advanced feedback techniques, mastering nuance, tone, and psychological dynamics in high-stakes feedback conversations offers a useful parallel. The same conditional language that holds your position in feedback conversations applies directly here. Number 6. Name what you are not including. Exclusion anchors are underused and powerful. Stating what is outside the deal shapes value as much as stating what is inside. This does not include ongoing support beyond the agreed period raises the implicit value of what does. It also protects you have anchored what you're delivering, so there's no ambiguity about what was assumed. Number 7. Restate the anchor after any attempt to shift it. Counterparts will test your anchor. They will introduce competing reference points, mention other suppliers, or describe a simpler version of the deal. When this happens, do not get defensive. Restate your anchor calmly and specifically. I understand that is a different approach. What I am describing is this particular scope, with these conditions. Repetition of a well-framed anchor is not stubbornness, it is confidence. Staying grounded when the conversation turns tense is a separate skill. The how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation framework gives you a practical method for holding your composure while you hold your position. Adapting this process for remote and asynchronous negotiations. When a negotiation happens across email threads, video calls, and shared documents, the dynamics of anchoring shift. You cannot read the room in the same way. The counterpart has time to consider, research, and prepare counter-anchors between exchanges. In these settings, your written anchor matters more than your spoken one. State your terms clearly in writing before any live conversation. A document that describes scope, timeline, standards, and exclusions is a non-monetary anchor that exists in the record of the negotiation. It is harder to dismiss or reframe than something said in a meeting. Use the first written communication to anchor, not just to arrange logistics. Ahead of a call, here is how I see the scope of this engagement sets your frame before you speak. The counterpart arrives to the conversation with your reference point already active, rather than arriving to a blank slate where they set the first anchor. For more on the mechanics of high-influence written communication, the guidance on word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague before it becomes a conflict is directly transferable to written negotiation exchanges where tone shapes outcome. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. 3 places where this goes wrong. These are the errors I see most often, and I have made all of them myself. The mistake, anchoring too late, after the counterpart has already set the frame. Why it happens, people assume negotiation starts when numbers are discussed. It starts the moment two parties are in contact. What to do instead? Set your non-monetary anchor in the first substantive communication, written or spoken, before any figure is mentioned. The mistake. Setting an anchor without a reason attached. Why it happens. People state their position, but do not connect it to anything concrete precedent, standard, scope logic, or need. What to do instead? Every anchor should have a brief rationale. Given the complexity involved or based on what this level of work requires gives the anchor weight and makes it harder to dismiss. The mistake. Abandoning the anchor at the first sign of resistance. Why it happens. The discomfort of disagreement makes people want to move. Resistance feels like evidence that the anchor was wrong. What to do instead? Resistance is not evidence that anchor is wrong. It is evidence it landed. Hold it. Restate it clearly. Move only when you choose to, and only in exchange for something. When disagreements about the deal's terms become sustained and heated, the how to use the deal method to resolve disagreements about feedback at work approach gives you a structured method for working through entrenched positions, and the same logic applies in negotiation settings. Similarly, if a counterpart becomes defensive when you hold your anchor, the how to use the core framework to stay calm when feedback triggers a defensive reaction gives you practical tools for staying composed. Before you walk into the room, your anchoring preparation checklist. Use this before any significant negotiation. It takes 10 minutes, and it will save you far more than that. Number 1. Scope anchor. Write out exactly what the deal covers, in your own words. What are you including, and what are you explicitly not including? Be specific. Number 2. Timeline anchor. What is the timeline you want? What is the reason you would give for it? Write both down. Number 3. Quality and standards anchor. What standard of delivery or outcome are you positioning this deal at? What words would you use to describe it before any price is named? Number 4. Precedent anchor. Is there a comparable deal, previous engagement, or industry norm you can reference to ground your position? Identify one and prepare a sentence that introduces it naturally. Number 5. Conditional trade preparation. If you need to make a concession, what would you trade, and what would you acquire in exchange? Decide this in advance so you do not trade under pressure. Number 6. Restatement language. Write a single sentence that restates your anchor calmly if it is challenged. Practice saying it aloud until it feels natural, not defensive. The how to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate offers a complementary framework for situations where the anchoring conversation escalates into an impasse. The ground you choose before money is mentioned. Here is what I know after 6 decades of watching negotiations unfold. The person who controls the frame controls the outcome. Price is visible. Price is the thing most people prepare for. But the frame, the scope, the standards, the precedents, these are set in the first minutes of a conversation, often before anyone has said a number aloud. Non-monetary anchors are the method for setting that frame deliberately, not aggressively, not manipulatively, deliberately, with preparation, with reason, and with the confidence to hold your position when the other party pushes back. The checklist above is your preparation. The steps above are your process. The only thing left is to trust it enough to use it. The next time you walk into a negotiation, ask yourself one question. First, who's going to set the terms before the price? Make sure the answer is you. Frequently asked questions. What are non-monetary anchors in negotiation? Non-monetary anchors are the terms, conditions, scope, and standards you establish in a negotiation before any financial figure is discussed. They shape the other party's expectations and create a reference frame that all later offers are measured against, giving you structural control of the deal. How do non-monetary anchors affect the outcome of a deal? Non-monetary anchors work through the anchoring effect once a reference point is set. Everything else is judged relative to it. By anchoring scope, timeline, and conditions first, you make your preferred outcome feel like the natural baseline rather than a concession you had to fight for. When should you set a non-monetary anchor in a negotiation? Set your non-monetary anchor as early as possible, ideally before formal negotiation begins. The party who establishes the first credible reference point controls the frame. Anchoring in pre-meeting conversations, written proposals, or opening statements gives you the greatest structural advantage. What makes a non-monetary anchor credible? A credible non-monetary anchor is grounded in specific, verifiable detail precedent, industry standards, demonstrated scope, or documented need. Vague anchors invite challenge. The more concrete and reasoned your opening position, the harder it is for that other party to dismiss or reframe it. Can non-monetary anchors backfire in a negotiation? Yes, anchoring too aggressively on terms can create resistance before money is even discussed. Setting an anchor that ignores the other party's real constraints damages trust and closes options. The strongest anchors are firm, but reasonable, leaving the counterpart room to move toward you rather than away. How are non-monetary anchors different from standard price anchoring? Price anchoring sets a numerical reference point, typically an opening offer or listed price. Non-monetary anchors set the surrounding conditions, timelines, deliverables, exclusivity, quality standards, and relationship terms. They shape the deal structure before any figure is named, which often determines how much room price negotiation has to move. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.